opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Oh, yeah, it is live. We got a lot to get to.
The drive is live.
A lot to get to as you see us on your TV screens. It's probably not a TV screen or whatever screen you're looking at. You can see us on YouTube and Twitch.
I watch on my 92-inch.
There you go, and it's 92-inch. You can see us. Tyler does, too.
Yeah, I got it.
I ain't seen
92?
That.
92? That's got to be a projector. No. 92?
Come on, buy some phone.
Good Lord.
I came by. That must be new.
It'll change. No, it's new.
I ain't seen that. I want to see the 92.
I'll tell you a real quick story. Sorry.
You get a sale?
I think mine's 95.
So we used to have two walkways in my family room into the hallway. Mm-hmm. I closed up one of the walkways so I could put a 92 up.
As well you should.
Like, I got to see this. I don't know what a 92 looks like. Ooh, I got to see this.
85 I just pulled off the wall, boy. 92, good Lord.
It's got 85. Probably.
Damn, IMAX theater.
I had an 85 and a 75 in that old man cave.
Yeah, the 85. Ooh. Probably used a private jet to pull it off.
I just eased on down to Best Buy.
Probably got some projector, like, top of the line.
I wish I would have, though.
Probably has gold in that basement.
Yeah.
I ain't got no basement.
Gold Schlager to sip on.
Ooh, remember them Gold Schlager days?
You know what?
Like they were yesterday.
Back in them Smurf Water days. Hypnotic. Remember that Smurf Water?
I know about that. I don't know about that Gold Schlager.
You don't remember that Gold Schlager had the flakes of gold?
What did I have?
I would drink a gimmick in a minute up there, boy.
What did I have? I had
back in them
days. That's the only time I've ever had. I had some sort of shot. It was Everclear and Gold Schlager.
Oh, Everclear. Good
well,
God.
You decided to add Everclear to it.
Somebody
huh?
Well, that was these girls from Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Yep,
that was
yep,
what
there it is. Untied, undefeated. Make you do it. I mean,
them
good.
Kalamazoo Lord. Girls good, man. I know.
Panama City Beach.
Hey, I've been to Panama
at the core
now.
Of every pissy poor decision a man makes.
Spring break 2012, Panama City Beach. My guy.
Speaking of,
wow. I just flashed back for a second.
That's right, man. 12,
start sweating.
13 gentlemen there, two rooms. That's what we did.
Oh, wow.
One suite.
I'm out.
One suite.
Sausage Fest.
One suite. 12.
I've loaded up before. I ain't ever loaded up 13 in two rooms.
Did I grab the balcony once or twice a night? Yep, I did. Yeah.
Now, was that for sex or because you were feeling sick from drinking too much?
Man, just the space we had, man. Got to get comfortable,
get out
man.
There and get a feel that breeze, either. Man.
I told you, 13 deep, ooh. Two rooms. One of them was a suite.
I'll be 15 deep with some dudes next month.
Hopefully, y'all got more than two rooms. I hope. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
God. Okay.
Yeah, big old Airbnb.
We were 21. I'm under. But we will get to the Astros. I do want to continue a little bit of the conversation from the crosstalk. But I just want to give you guys a heads up on a tease. The 4 o'clock hour.
Tease me, please.
I have told Clint Sterner not to tell me the details of this story. If you've listened to this show, many of you have, you know that Clint Sterner is a grown-ass man who has been north of 45 the entire, almost the entire time that I've known him. He has run out of gas on multiple occasions.
Seven.
He has run out of battery to his Tesla, had his family worried sick because he could not contact anybody, had to use a gas station's clerk's charger that was iffy, and then next thing you know, his whole family's in search of him, and they just come walking up on him.
And Baytown PD.
Like, we understand, Clint has had these issues. This is what Clint texted us today before rolling in. Coming in hot. That is code for I'll be late. Coming in hot in an Uber. This one may take the cake, boys. I will be in a new rig ASAP.
Oh, my God.
And he came in befuddled, disgusted.
I thought immediately he had to run out of gas.
This looked like a person that just said, to hell with it. I'm throwing away any of my dietary plans, and I will just go and eat whatever I want to eat because I want to feel good about myself because of the day I had.
Hand me the Funyuns.
And I told him, don't tell me. I don't want to know. I do not want to know. I want to hear it live on the air. So, this is a tease, Clint. 4 o'clock, Dirty's Daily will be kicked off by whatever the hell it is that happened to Clint that had him have to come to work in an Uber, like Tyler has a couple of times, to have to come into work in an Uber and then now guilty, in need of a new vehicle.
Oh,
so,
no.
I mean, I just, at 4 o'clock, folks. By the way, 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. What the hell you think is what he's going to tell us at 4? What do you think happened? What in the hell do you think happened to Clint Sterner led to coming in an Uber and I have to get a new rig ASAP?
Yeah, because it's got to be more. It's not as simple as I originally thought, the running out of gas. There's something more going on.
He has a full look of done.
I'm done.
Boy, whatever it is.
You know when you are just steaming ass hot and something happens and you can't help but laugh?
You throw a golf club into the
Like that
the
psycho
trees.
Laugh.
Would you throw a golf club in a tree?
I did not throw a golf club in a tree. Now I wish I could have. At least I got that damn club down.
If you had an iron, you would have tossed it.
I'm gonna tell you, man. There is two. The story's solid. There's two details that you just ain't gonna believe.
Here comes the putter throw.
You're not.
Oh, so we got details that we won't believe. Like we won't even believe the story.
I didn't believe you. You think if you gave me and Tyler.
And the listeners, three guesses right now, we would not come close to coming up with.
It's so far out in left field. I had to ask later.
Mother of God.
I'm telling you.
Okay. All right. I am really intrigued, Tyler. I don't even have any. I don't even know.
I'm looking forward to 4.
I think it is he stopped at a gas station or something, and maybe he didn't know the car was still running, and that thing started rolling on him or something. I have no idea.
Yeah, you can be a little absent-minded sometimes, Dirty.
Well, I mean,
Someone just texted in. He's not charged. He didn't charge the Tesla, and it died on him. It feels like it's got to be more than that.
Bet he was cursing Elon left and right.
I do believe this has to do with the Tesla and not the Escalade. I believe that.
Yes. I got to ride with you on that.
Yeah.
It's very on brand, and y'all are very hot.
Only things that deal in technology do I see get Clint this upset and flustered. Oh, so it's got to be Tesla.
People pissed off. If people can understand your anger. An Uber to the radio station from Baytown.
No, it wasn't Baytown.
It was
further away.
Oh, jeez. They said it's going to be a different part of town.
You're an old Pelly?
I had to go. No, further away from Houston than Baytown is.
Well, Louisiana?
I had to go. Not that direction. The other direction. I had to literally go inside and ask the address of where I was.
Damn, bro, in 2025?
To get my ride to pick me up.
Oh, man.
How often do you think that happens in 2025 that someone's got to walk in anywhere and go, hey, where am I?
Oh, my God. Clint ran out of gas and got hit on the side of the road by a Coors Light truck. That's what people are sending in.
If anything's going to hit me, if I'm going to die at the hands of anything, let it be a Coors. Hell, I'd love for a Coors Light truck to smash that damn Tesla. I would not be chill, man. I'd be the spokesperson for free for the rest of my life.
I'd
be very not chill.
Yes.
This is I can't wait. This story's going to take 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I
know.
This is, I cannot wait.
Yeah,
I cannot wait the details of this thing. So coming up.
You're not going to believe it. Tyler's going to be, you know, very rare. Like, there's not many times in my life that I even.
Am I going to get the giggles?
No, you're going to be disgusted.
Oh.
Are we going to be disgusted in, like, you or
times,
just the situation?
Most times if Tyler's disgusted with me, it's just something we disagree on.
Oh,
and we just ain't never going to see. He's going to be disgusted.
Is he, like, disgusted, like, how you are on some of his late night choices?
Like, Tyler Milner is going to look at me like, you're a grown-ass man, bro.
Damn.
And I'm going to have to take it.
Does your mom know about this? Would she be disgusted?
Well, I had to get my wife involved.
Hold on. Was this something that you really did not, like, want at all to have to get Lo involved in, but you just had no choice?
I had no choice whatsoever. I had zero choice whatsoever.
I'm so excited.
And one of the times I was talking to her, I could hear my mom in the background.
Oh, God. They were there together, finding out together. Oh, man.
I'm going to tell you this.
That is pitiful.
I'm going to tell you this. My wife would be as mad, maybe, other than PMP night. Can't tell what
Pain and Pendergast night.
I can't tell you what that stands for. It's a shot that I took.
Oh, it's not Pain.
Oh, God. That's outside of that bar.
Other than that night, this may be the most mad she's been. But
she was mad at you.
That night?
I'm talking about today. She was mad at
me. She can't get mad at me because that damn electric vehicles, there's only one reason it exists.
Ask you.
So, okay, so all right, too much. Too much.
She says,
but the problems keep occurring with one person behind the wheel.
I got to remind myself, like, hey, bro.
I got one last question, okay, and then we will get to the Astros. Would this be completely avoided if you were in the Cadillac?
Oh, no question.
This would have never happened.
No
question. None of the story would have happened if you're in the Cadillac.
No question. If I was in anything that drinks gas instead of...
So the key is a gasoline engine.
I'd been A-OK. it's just... I mean,
unless you would have ran out of gas in that, which is very possible.
Clint got water in the vehicle and shorted out the Tesla.
I'm going to go ahead and I'll give y'all a little bit of a hint.
No, I don't want a hint. No, I don't want a hint.
Just towards what it's not. I would be doing flips, backflips, standing backflips in this joint if that car was demolished. If that car was totaled, I mean, I'd even take a broken arm or leg.
You would take an injury for that.
Yes, absolutely.
Hit up cars for kids, man.
Hit that car. What do you say? Hit up cars for kids.
Donate to Junk for Joy, bro.
Yeah, you got to get out of that car, man. When you're willing to take a broken arm,
man,
out of this.
What is my life?
Head to this. And meanwhile,
I'm so disappointed.
Tyler had to get him a new car. He had to let it ride in the last couple months.
Can I tell y'all one more thing?
And by the way, I'm still hanging on with that 2016 Toyota Camry. Cost me $300 a day. 2016 Toyota Camry running like a
champ.
Fresh Secretariat, baby. Beautiful, baby. Drove out of there with no problems.
That
baby.
Analogy is out of hand.
I'm going to ride this bitch for 15 years, I tell you. I'm going to ride this sucker. Woo! Just keep getting good oil changes.
There goes Jockey Ron.
Shout out.
Anything for Ron not to have a car payment.
That does suck.
O'clock is people continue to send stuff in.
Have you ever not had a car payment other than when you were driving your parents' yellow Hummer?
Yeah. Last two vehicles I had paid off by the time I was done with them.
Beautiful.
Damn,
this has been beautiful. It's the first time I ever have since my mom surprised me in that barbershop with that Ford hatchback that she bought full cash that I just had to get. Yeah. The bike racks on the top.
That's
my
favorite.
As an adult, baby, this is it, man.
So, Ron, what are you going to put up there?
Man, I'm 2+ years in, man. There ain't nothing like it. God. All right. Back to the point. Do you guys have any concerns, 713-572-4610, while you're also in the midst of trying to figure out what happened to Clint today? Are you have any concerns at this point? You've lost, that the Astros lost two in a row. They're trying to avoid the sweep tonight with old Redhead tonight, Brandon Walter.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to
Ginger
avoid
Nation,
the sweep to a team that's been playing terribly. And Hunter Brown gives up 6. Josh Hader gives up 4. They give up the 10 runs together. You lose back-to-back games. This is now the first series that the Astros have lost in 13 consecutive series, which is nuts. Any concern at all, like they were saying, within the loop, or is this just Or is this something you're checking up on, or is this just baseball team?
It's just baseball for me, man. I mean, look, you got – who got touched up in game one? Was that Tyler's Big C?
Big C, yeah.
He got touched up in game one. The wheels kind of came off there, and they fought back and made a game of it and just couldn't get there. And then last night, it's Josh Hader, and as you mentioned – big game Hunter Brown, and those two get touched up back to back. I don't believe that's going to happen very often. So one of them, you can't help but expect it to happen. With the bottom half of the rotation, starting rotation, is going to happen from time to time. I look at it as a positive. The lineup that had four minor leaguers in the 6-9 hole actually gave you a chance, scored some runs. And then last night's deal, man, you hate to see it, but I got all the faith in the world in those two particular players. I don't have any concern about that they're going to, more times than not, they're going to be nails and not give up 10 runs. So, and even last night, you can look at it and say, hey, man, a makeshift lineup somehow went out tied the ball game up in clutch situations.
They've scored 11 runs with that lineup the last 2 days.
Yeah,
so I will give that.
It's hard for me to get to get too concerned about what's going on right now with the Astros. I think there's one real concern with the Astros is.
Did you feel the injuries the last 2 days? Did you feel like we reached? Jake. There's no.
I mean, you feel them, yeah. But I mean, because you look up and the as you mentioned several times, the Guardians. What would you do, 11-game losing streak coming in or something like that?
Yeah.
I got to believe with Jeremy Pena and Jake Myers and Yordan Alvarez and crew. I mean, you got a chance to put up double digits in every damn game you play these guys the way that this lineup is scoring runs. If this lineup can score six, I got to believe the healthy Astros lineup is scoring 10 any day of the week and twice on Sunday. So you know, that I think you feel it, yeah. But am I concerned? No. I mean, the only – look, there is nothing with the Astros right now that can surprise me or concern me other than we get late into this season – and Spencer Arrighetti's not back.
Yeah.
Or Yordan Alvarez is not back. Either those two guys right there in particular not coming back, those two guys right there being like season-ending injuries, that'll concern me. But it's going to have to be that announcement, or it's going to have to be the last couple weeks of the season for me to get concerned about that.
Yeah. If you have a game, especially this one, where – and I will do this, fellas – and to the Drive family, I'll take a little bit of this. I know yesterday I said I had a good feeling about Hunter Brown. I thought we might get, shut up, Tyler. I thought we might get a little no-no action. I said, I think this could be a good one for Hunter Brown. Maybe no-no close action. I said, yeah, knock it dead. 6.5, woo, take them strikeouts. I was with it.
I forgot you said we might be flirting with a no-no.
And, boy, that I mean, that two-run homer right off the bat.
wasn't a great start.
I said, shoot, I'm going to hear about this one. So I will take a little bit of the Hunter Brown performance. But, like, if you're going to tell me, hey, man, Hunter Brown and Josh Hader are going to give up, you know, 10 runs, those two are going to be the ones to give up 10 runs. I would take my chances on that not being something that happens all the time, but I do apologize, Hunter. Maybe I just wasn't feeling it. I don't know, man. Maybe he wasn't feeling the same thing I was feeling, because that no hitter was gone quick. That was out of the. I mean, when Rocchio hit that home run off him, I said, "Come on, man! Middle infielders are now these like."
Well, this is not good.
Speed, middle infielders, hit ninth or hitting home runs. Like, what is going on? So I know he was smoking hot. But they'll bounce back. Hopefully they can avoid the sweep tonight against the Cleveland Guardians. Coming up, one of the newest members and potentially one of the most important members of the Houston Texans had something to say. And I'll just say, Clint Sterner, maybe it was the car issue, but he didn't love it. Didn't love it. We'll let you hear and discuss that.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Coming up next.
What's up, Clint? How y'all doing, man?
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Text line coming through. Gents, please, I've got a 240 scheduled root canal. Damn. I got to hear Clint's story live before I go in there. LOL, man. I'm sorry. You're going to have to... You got to listen to that Odyssey app and that rewind feature, or go back to that 4 o'clock segment and listen to it, boss.
Hope you got a good dentist. You may be done by 4. Be a little woozy.
Well, that root canal, boy. Whew. If you missed it, Clint, Clint sent a text message to us today. He said, I'm coming in hot, which means he's going to be super tight to the time and the start of the show. I'm coming in hot. This one may take the cake, fellas. Got to get a new rig ASAP. That's what he texted us today. I told him I don't want any other details. He came in, he said, you won't believe this as soon as I tell you. Well, he is telling us at 4 o'clock, Dirty's Daily. So stay tuned for that. All right, Lakin Tomlinson. He is one of the new members of the Texans. And, right, you think of a lot of the new faces that the Texans have. You think about the guys like from the staff, Nick Cayley, and you think about Jalen Higgins and Noel and some of the guys they've drafted and brought in, even maybe Cam Robinson. You know, you don't think, you know, maybe Lakin Tomlinson kind of flows a little further down in your thinking of new guys that the Texans are bringing in. But when you think about the biggest problem on this team last year, which was offensive line, and in particular the interior part of the offensive line, he is a very important piece, and it looks like he seems to be, at least going into training camp, Clint, penciled in to be that starting left tackle with Titus on the other side as the right tackle. And he said something that you had a reaction to. You had a reaction to And I'm going to read what he had to say, and you can give your feelings on this. Left tackle, it looks like to be starting left tackle, Lakin Tomlinson, the veteran
left guard.
Yeah, that'd be rough. Lakin Tomlinson, left guard, said this. I believe the offensive line could be the strength of the team. I'll repeat that part again. I believe the offensive line could be the strength of the team, Tomlinson told Texans Radio in an interview. Those guys out there, they're grinders, man. They want to be the backbone, the foundation of the team. So when you can have what you have for the team, you can go very, very far. And man, I've seen it in the past. I've been a part of it, and I'm excited to be able to exercise that here. That was what Lakin Tomlinson, the newest member of the offensive line, had to say. And your reaction to that is what?
I don't like it. I'm not a big fan of it. You know, I, initially when I first heard it, I was like, this is something that an excited rookie that just got to the league that's not real aware of his surroundings and what's been going on in the organization. He's just excited about being there and kind of got out over his skis a little bit with the expectations or the want to or the you know, the interview in the moment and said, you know, just got a little excited and said a few things. But when you take into account that it's Lakin Tomlinson, you're just like, man, I don't know that that's where this offensive line, the mindset needs to be in terms of being the strength of the team. Look, this is a great, not good, this is a great defensive unit. Maybe he was talking about just the offensive side of the football. I don't know. That would potentially make a little bit more sense, even though I still think he's out over his skis there. It just seemed a little bit like that excited rookie, that excited new face in the locker room, like, hey, man, we're going to turn this thing around. And in reality, you know, I think the offensive line just realize who you were, and not necessarily him because he wasn't here, but realize how bad it was before, and let's just focus on getting five guys communicating. Let's focus on getting some decent offensive line play up front. I don't know that the belief that this is going to be the strength of the team is really what you
do. You think he's expressing that as the goal, or is that like that's what we're striving?
Well, I think he's been in the weight room a little bit and been around some guys that are pretty solid guys, which doesn't surprise me that D'Amico and Nick they've built a hellacious roster, and there's no reason to think that these aren't really good guys that say the right things, that are accountable, that take care of their body. And I think he probably just got a little bit excited about you know, the opportunity to come in here and lead the crew and you know, change the culture. I mean, because look, he has been a part of a really good offensive line. The 4 years he spent in San Francisco, they did some really, really good things. D'Amico Ryans was there for part of that, I believe. So there's some familiarity there. I don't doubt that there's some good vibes in the room, but let's just pump the brakes a little bit on the strength of the team there. Now, look, I hope he's right. I hope he.
So you don't think this is like, hey man, this is the goal? You think he's looked down here and said, boy, y'all don't know what we got
here.
Yeah,
it's unrealistic. The strength of the team. That's unrealistic. Now, I hope he's right. I hope I've got to eat crow, because if that is the case, and then all of a sudden you got a supporting cast for Nick Chubb and Joe Mixon that can run that thing downhill, you got an O-line that can protect a guy like C.J. Stroud for an extended period of time and let that guy cook. I mean, as Texans fans, we're off to something. But when I hear that, my immediate response is, hey, man, know who you were. Know the situation you're stepping into. I don't know that strength of the team isn't significantly out over your skis.
See, when I hear it, I don't mind it if this isn't a delusional thing of like, nah, man, we are the best thing rolling around here, man. We are the Eagles out here.
Yeah.
Now, if that is just like, hey, man, this is the confidence I feel like we have, and we are trying. That's where we're trying to be. I don't mind it. What I guess what would you prefer to be hearing, or what would you prefer be the mindset from those guys?
Well, I mean, we got a long way to go. We got a long way to go. This offensive line was not a good unit last year. We got a long way to go, and it's about all five of us, not any one of us doing their job better than the next. It's about all five of us, and we're doing everything we can to be on the same page, communicate better, and be a force up front. I mean, the backbone of the team, the strength of the team, one of the better offensive lines in the league, like all of that kind of stuff to me is, you use the word delusional, that's delusional.
That's where you feel like it's just, we're not being realistic right now.
Yeah, I don't think it's realistic at all. I think now when you read down in some context and you realize it's Lakin Tomlinson talking and you understand, there's some things you can connect some dots and say, hey man, he's the leader. He is probably, not probably, I would be willing to bet you that D'Amico Ryans brought him in here for a reason, and the mentality and setting the tone in that room is probably one of them. So he's speaking more so for the group than he is himself. So the context changes it a bit, but I think if you just look at the offensive line play here in the past, the moves that were made, and you arrive at a place where you think it's going to be the strength of the team. Again, I hope he's right, but to me, I think it's a bit delusional.
The one thing that I don't know if we know 100% yet, but potentially we know and feel like will be a change is it does feel like when you hear something like this from this group, it's not just like words. It feels like they will at least work. Like they will give a work and effort to do it. Like to me, as we've talked about it with Laramie Tunzel kind of leading the crew and rolling through it, that feels like man, I want to be the leader of this bad boy, you know, but I'm not going to really do all the things that you would need to, because really I don't have to, but the rest of us do. I do feel like when I hear Lakin Tomlinson say something like that, that this is a group that will keep working towards it.
Oh, right? There's no doubt about that.
That's a hard working group. I think before it was like, yeah, like we heard it, Laramie, man, I want to be a leader. I want to be a captain. I want to be a captain. But like, hey man, I'm going to arrive at this piece probably midway through training camp though. I'm not going to come to anything I don't have to. Not showing action. I do think at least this group will show action towards.
Yeah,
towards
I think the big question with this group is talent. I mean, ultimately, that's the deal. I mean, you got a starting center that the New England Patriots, who are a couple years behind you in a rebuild, just chose to let go. I mean, you've got a left tackle that Minnesota who had obvious protection problems chose to move on from. You got another guard that Minnesota who have obvious offensive line problems chose to move on from. I mean, these are all the guys that you added. And look, again, it's the reality is. You don't have the high-end talent like Laramie Tunsil, but you also don't have the issues that Laramie Tunsil had. Now, all of a sudden, you don't have that high-end talent like Laramie Tunsil, but maybe you don't have some of the same. You got better dudes that are more accountable, that are more team-first guys. So it may all offset. I don't know. I don't look at anything to do with this offensive line. I don't want to hear the offensive line coach. I don't want to hear the offensive coordinator. I don't want to hear the O-lineman in general. I don't want to hear Titus Howard. I don't want to hear those guys talking about being one of the best offensive lines in the league.
Pump your brakes. Like, pump your brakes.
Yeah, I mean, let's just get on the same page, hold each other accountable. If one's going to run lap for a false start, let's all run lap for false starts. If one, you know, let's one guy can't be great at pass protection. Let's work on all the guys being good at pass. Like, let's get to that stage before we start talking about and worrying about being the backbone of the team and the identity of the team. Again, I hope he's right. I'd love more than nothing to be dead ass wrong and have to be eating crow here in about 3 months. But you know, that's just out over the skis a bit, I think.
All right, coming up. All right, I fibbed a little bit in the first segment. Last night I don't take a whole lot from these last two games against the Guardians. But there is one thing, though. There is one thing that did catch my eye and something that I'll be watching the rest of the way with the Astros, and in particular from something we saw last night. We'll discuss that.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up next,
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Just telling Clint this in the break, Tyler, and listeners. I've reached that point. Many of you out here are already here with your kids. I've reached this point where my oldest son is dressing, or is attempting to dress like he is unaware of what the weather is outside.
Till further notice, young fella.
Y'all ever see them cats? And then just because this is the first time it happened to me this week, you ever see them cats? You walking around and you look out there and it's 90 something degrees and you're like, I mean, why does this dude got a hoodie on? Got a hoodie on.
Don't make fun of me with the pants out at Texans practice.
My nephew's a hoodie.
But
he's,
I felt
he's a hoodie all year round.
Just hoodie. Yeah, man, it's 95. Hoodie. That fool, AAU, that fool went out there. I said, son, it's 90. It's 95 degrees outside. I said, why you have the hoodie on? Oh, I'll be fine.
I'm just trying to get a good sweat.
Like, dude. And then Courtney got him a little bit later on. He seemed like he held on. I remember when I was, I think I've told this story, one of my best friend's cousins passed away, I had that one, my one good outfit, my one good funeral outfit in my head. My one good funeral outfit had a bit of a black sweater. It was June and I had to wear it. That's what I had. And my mom would, well, you, if you don't take that stupid ass, why do you have that stupid ass sweater on?
Is that 100% cotton?
All right, and I'm like, I was convinced, oh, it was too, man. It was a thick one. I was convinced you had to wear black to funerals, and that was the best
that was your go-to.
Black I had at that point.
You know why?
In my mind. Now, my mom, of course, pulled out multiple other black shirts that could have worked, but I was clearly dug in. So I went and I just I'm going to wear this. All right, fine. You're going to pass out. And then hit that really insensitive joke of it's going to be more than one funeral today. Anyhow, but I reached that point, man, where I'm like he's doing it now. At 11, going into sixth grade, he is banging out the hot ass hoodies.
I feel like
at 95 degrees. What is that about?
I feel like you may be able to pull that off in KC or even in Fayetteville, where I went to school, kind of same part of the country. You can kind of get away with some of that because it's always breezy and a little bit cooler, and very rarely does it get to the... I mean, this down... The humidity with this heat...
Oh, yeah, my God.
Makes me want to throw up. But no, you know it... The folks out there that rock, that really rock, like, the beanie look, that like to wear beanies on their head...
Oh, yes,
I feel like I see that a lot. Like, it'll be 98 degrees out in my neighborhood, and there's, like, a teenage kid, like, walking the neighborhood with, like, this... thick, 100% cotton, non-breathing ass beanie on his head.
It's like they're gonna wear the outfit that they want to wear, regardless of what it is. Jeans, hoodie, like it's the outfit they want to wear.
Yes,
they
good,
feel the best, the look good that they believe they look good in, and then have. But they have some damn flip flops on,
some slides on
down under.
Yeah,
and I'm just sitting there then. Son, well, have we reached that age?
Do you think you got across to him, or would you?
Nah.
Would you send him off to camp in?
Now, parka. Today.
He had old starter jacket on.
Snow boots.
Today was a little better. But nope. You see, today was a little better. But
hoodie and shorts.
Hoodie and shorts.
Yep. Like it's November out there.
Now for him it was a little rain going but yeah, someone sick text in. Same with my daughter's show. She's 11 in hoodies every day, regardless of it all. It's just crazy.
It's a hoodie generation, man. My nephew's the same way. He comes walking, I'm like, he got a hoodie and sweatpants on.
Oh, he goes with it. I see that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, someone texted in and said, man, ain't been out of Texas and just banging hoodies and Crocs.
That's it. That's my nephew, Crocs with them little jewels or whatever on the toes of him.
It is. Like, I just looked at him and, like, I almost just said, like, we're just not going to leave until you go wear something else. But then I thought, oh, let me not fight this one. All right. Listen, for the most part, and I wonder if anybody else is feeling this. Maybe you're not at all, and you'll, I'm sure, send in your thoughts. But not really too much bothered by what happened with the Guardians the last 2 days, right? But the one thing that I have kind of noticed, and as the games get bigger, Clint, and this is where the Astros are right now, where they are in their division. And they are right now as a team with the run they're on. It's like gearing towards October, right? That's what this city is used to with their baseball team. But Clint, the one thing that I am really keeping an eye on is Hunter Brown. When there's some adversity that hits Clint, he turns pissed.
You see it.
He gets angry and he pitches angry and he is mad and he is steaming. That home run was hit. He is pissed. He is up here. He is wherever Clint was today with what happened to that car, which you will find out at 4:11.
About 11.
He is pissed. And Clint, when he starts pitching pissed, it is, I'm going to throw it past everybody. Yeah. And the whole thought process goes out of the window, it seems like, at times, of pitching. And now I'm about to smoke it past everybody. And, like, I saw it multiple times yesterday, and I've seen it before. And I've been thinking, God, somebody needs to, like, just walk out there and calm him down. It's almost like the Framber thing a little bit, but different. Framber looks like he's, like, hearing voices or something. like Randy Orton, or he's hearing voices. Like, it looks like Hunter wants to grab the bat and just nail somebody.
Yeah.
He's and it gets away from a little bit, and to me, they start getting in October in playoff games, if there is some adversity, if he gets squeezed or something, or, you know, tough luck with something or somebody, how does he respond to that? Because I don't think Hunter Brown is at his best when he's pitching pissed.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I don't know if you've noticed that.
No, hell yeah, I have. I think it's a great point. And you never want any of your pitchers being flustered, if you will. I'll say, you know, to me, the difference in – you got, like, to me, and I know Framber can obviously run it up there, but Framber to me is more of a finesse guy. It's going to go out there, and yeah, he's going to get some strikeouts, but he's going to pitch a certain way. Ball's going to move all over the place. He's going to get a bunch of ground balls. Whereas you got a power pitcher, I think, in Hunter Brown, and not that I want either one of them flustered at all. It bothers me less when it's Hunter Brown, because a power pitcher, it as long as you can contain it, I think you can use it to your advantage. Whereas if you're rattled with Framber, I think it's a rough spot to be in any way it goes. But I do think. The point you're making overall is keep an eye on it. He's a young pitcher that's kind of up and coming, that's experiencing these all-star level performances week in, week out, and you know, keep an eye on it, because I think he's in a learning phase, a developmental phase of kind of learning how to handle that. And I it's blatantly obvious. I thought a couple of times
I was thinking, boy, Maldi probably would have walked out there and talked to him a little bit.
Yeah,
and just hey, settle down, man. Hey, that bit fits. Let it go.
Yeah, you're not going to throw this thing by the leadoff hitter in Major League Baseball.
It looks like he's out here saying that mother.
Yeah,
like I kind of watched the game condensed again, and I heard like I heard it from the Cleveland side. They're like, man, he is really angry out there. Hunter Brown is like, because they said, boy, they touched him up in a way that no team has touched him up. He is really angry out there. And I just, it doesn't seem like he pitches well that way. I mean, as I said, luckily for him, the way he has pitched this year, he's not really running into this a lot.
Right.
Right. So more times than not, he's probably just going to shut you down anyway. But you can see in playoff games, like Verlander was great at just kind of settling himself down, right? He's a veteran who's pitched in the league for a long time, but has settled himself down. Christian Javier is somebody you can't really tell what he's thinking when he's out there, and no matter what happens, it seems settled. That's just something to kind of watch when the games get important, and you know the margin for error is slowed up. Is what happens if you know they're playing, you know, the Yankees in the playoffs, and he's in there game one or game two, and you know maybe he gives up two runs or something early.
Yeah.
Does he start to pitch angry, or does he pull it together?
It's one thing to use that anger to maybe run your fastball up a couple miles an hour faster. It's another thing when it's a blackout moment and you're like, I'm just going to throw it by this guy what, you know, kind of deal.
I'm going to throw it past Aaron.
He has a tendency to live on that edge, and when he gets touched up a bit, I can see where that's something they need to keep an eye on, no question.
All right. ESPN, they're doing their top 10 at each position, and they did edge rushers. We'll let you know where the two edge rushers for the Texans ended up, if they did end up in the top 10 or not, and kind of makes me want to go a little bit deeper with one of them. We'll discuss that coming up next.